What's up? This is the Sisters in Therapy podcast. I'm Dr. Mercedes, LMFTS.
I'm Dr. Brittany Harrell, LPC.
I'm Dr. TK, LMFTS.
We are inviting you to be a part of our thoughtful, passionate conversations about all things life as it relates to mental health, because everything relates to mental health.
But more importantly, we're here to inspire you to love yourself and others.
This is a podcast where you'll get dope sessions, no copay, and keep in mind that this podcast is not meant to be a replacement relationship with a mental health professional. Now, let's get into the session. What's up? You are tuned into the Sisters in Therapy podcast. I am Dr. B.
I'm Dr. Mercedes.
I'm Dr. T.
And we are back with another episode, another topic, one that is my absolute favorite. I'm so excited to talk about this with y'all because we talk about this all the time.
All the time.
All the time.
Yes.
So you.
Yes. It's literally, I should probably get it tatted on me because I talk about it too much. But as you can see, our topic is autonomy. And I am excited to talk about this because I think it's a concept that a lot of people don't really know about or they don't know how to live by it. So before I give the actual definition, the Google definition of what autonomy is, what would you all say is your definition of autonomy?
For me, when I think about autonomy, I think about just kind of personal freedom. Mm-hmm. In every aspect of the word, you know, from personal, political, relational, bodily, it makes me think freedom. I get to be in this bubble and be free in it, and I get to choose how I'm navigating all of these spaces.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Love that. Dr. Mercedes?
For me, autonomy is honoring myself in every space that I'm in and giving myself permission to dream out loud and also just the overall choice of what serves me and being able to know what serves me and let go of what doesn't serve me. That's autonomy for me. Yeah. Freedom, essentially.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think it's all in the spirit of freedom. I will piggyback on that. It's certainly just the freedom to choose, the freedom of choice. And I think that's an underestimated reality for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. But it's one that I try to live by every day. But there is no right or wrong. It's just really a matter of how you define it, how you relate to it. But Google says autonomy is the capacity to decide for oneself and pursue a course of action in one's life, often regardless of any particular moral content. That last part was interesting. I don't really know. I guess it can be as expansive as you want it be, really.
So it means different things in different industries, actually.
Facts.
So within our industries, obviously, like the self-right, the right to honor yourself and just be able to have that stuff cultivated in the spaces that you're in, kind of like we've all said. Mm-hmm. But then there's like a science to it, too, autonomous, those things. So we're talking about it in the spirit, in the realm of psychology and human behavior.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah.
I think you hit on a pretty good point of this also just being a really, like, I think undervalued and under talked about aspect of how we're able to navigate the world. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I see so many folks, and this is just kind of in practice, that aren't really conscious or aware that they have some of these freedoms that they have. Mm. Like, I've talked to people who are like, they don't know that they have the ability to walk away from people, situations, rooms, which I know sometimes it's not always possible, but there are very, very many times when you could literally turn around and walk out.
Right.
And they just don't know. It's almost like it doesn't occur.
Yeah.
Well, but when you are in survival mode, autonomy is not something that you really
think you got.
You think you have.
Right. Yeah. So would you, so that's the barrier, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was about to say, who even teaches you about autonomy? Like, where did you both learn about autonomy?
I honestly think it came natural to me because I've always rejected a lot of shit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Especially, I think my last job, the autonomy was definitely getting, it wasn't there. And so when I don't have autonomy, it feels like spiritual suicide, if that makes sense. I'm like, I gotta move around. My spirit is not intact here.
I honestly think it became more apparent in my life through opening my practice or starting my practice. Like, even when I started my career, especially at community mental health, there was a bit of autonomy there, right? Like, you can create your own schedule. You have to abide by what's expected of you in the role. But I don't know if it was exactly taught to me. It was, but maybe just not in this particular way, right? No. It's like, you know, go live your life, go live your dreams, go pursue mm-hmm. different things. But mm-hmm. I don't know if it was specifically to, I'll rephrase, I think it hits different mm-hmm. as a woman to seek autonomy.
Oh, yeah.
Because mm-hmm. you try to go against what's expected of you in society, right? Mm-hmm. And so even in that, it's like, oh, I get to decide what spaces I want to be in. I get to decide what I don't want to do. I get to decide what I want my life to look like.
Historically, women haven't always had autonomy, which is right. why it's so important right. to us, I think.
Oh, 100%.
You haven't had the right to choose or do anything. You just have to do what you were told. That's been our plight.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which was necessary at one point in time, which is also why when I see women in therapy sometimes, it's... there can be this grief and shame and guilt mm. around not practicing
mm-hmm.
autonomy
mm-hmm.
or almost not realizing that they had it. But we also have to remember you navigated the world in a way that you had to in order to survive at that time.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Now we got to examine, is it still needed? Is it still necessary? But at one point, and still in some situations, it very much is so.
Absolutely.
We got to do what we got to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Facts.
So that begs, that kind of segues into, well, yeah, let's go that route. So then how do you encourage autonomy in your clients? Well, first, does it come up? And then two, how do you encourage that this is something that a person can practice? Especially if we're talking about doing things that we think are expected of us, right? Just generally.
Mm-hmm.
One, how does it come up if it does? And then two, how do you encourage it?
So autonomy, it has to come up at some point because it's making decisions. And people come to therapy because they're wanting to change. There's mm-hmm. autonomy in that in itself.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically, I guess, with the work I do with couples, autonomy comes up because I conduct what we call a values clarification assessment. Mm-hmm. And almost always, each partner selects autonomy as one of their values. Because mm-hmm. you have to pick like 10 values from this list of values. And autonomy is one that most people select, and rightfully so, mm-hmm. because you're showing up to a space where you're having to merge said preferences, ooh, yeah. values, and needs.
Yeah.
And relationships are not sustainable without the autonomy being nurtured and cultivated, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I promote it. But then there's this thing such as autonomous behaviors, which we all get to engage in, which mm-hmm. means there are certain things you have to do to promote the autonomy within the relationship, mm-hmm. which is hard, but it's doable
mm-hmm.
because you're merging all of these things together for two people. So right. it's a bit complicated.
Right.
But both can exist.
Both can exist.
Two can exist. Because right. autonomy is not necessarily selfishness.
Okay, I was just about to follow up with that because I'd imagine it could be a kind of complicated for a relationship because 100%. A person might automatically think, well, if you're being more autonomous, then what does that mean for me as your partner?
And so then we get into the topic of autonomy not being independence. Now, there's an aspect of autonomy that relates to being independent,
mm-hmm.
but it's not the same thing. It ain't no I-N-D. That ain't what we're talking about when we're talking about autonomy.
Yeah,
not
yeah.
at all.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, research has proven that when people are given the space to live according to their own plan and mm-hmm. they have a healthy mental health, they're happier overall.
Mm.
That so makes sense.
Autonomy is very important to our mental health. You know, if I'm showing up let's just say we're going to talk about relationships. So if my preferences, my needs, and my values are considered by my partner and I consider theirs, and then that means that we are merging these things together and we're building our life together versus saying, I'm not saying that mine is right and yours is wrong. I'm saying we have to find some type of alignment.
Right.
And alignment is not the same thing as agreement.
Oh, absolutely.
When it comes to autonomy.
You better speak on it.
Hello. You know, and you hit on something a minute ago, and it still applies to this whenever you describe that it's not independence or it's the freedom kind of to make these decisions for yourself, even in a relationship. To mm-hmm. me, what I'm hearing is, which is important,
mm-hmm.
is power. Like we get to, in so many mm-hmm. spaces,
mm-hmm.
especially Black and brown men and women, we have very little power in the world or in
outside of our home.
Outside of our mm-hmm. home, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so in our home, like we're kind of inching for it any and everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So autonomy is a part of a way that we, and safety. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking power and safety.
Yes. Right. I have that right here.
And at least this space.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which should be nurtured. It should be a good thing.
Absolutely. I think specifically with relationships, I think there's this idea that we are in ownership of this person, right?
Yes.
So the idea of this being an autonomous person, even though they were very much, to whatever extent they were autonomous, they were independent.
Mm-hmm.
And so you try to merge that, but you're not in ownership of this person. In fact, you should be proud of this autonomous being that is standing right before you.
That chose you, because that's autonomy.
That chose you. That is the biggest thing. Exactly.
Need you.
Right.
Chose
you.
Not that anything is wrong with needing anybody.
Yes. But you know.
We all need one another.
Yes. Those are the disclaimers, guys.
But yeah, so that's kind of how I use autonomy with my couples, especially, you know, it's important with the premarital work that I do, all because people are bringing their own kind of lived experiences
for
to
sure.
their relationships. Mm-hmm. And the way I fold laundry and the way my partner folds laundry will be different.
Mm-hmm.
But there's an aspect of that that causes arguments, because somebody thinks that their way is right and the other way is wrong. So autonomy is also choice in saying, okay, we can find a new way.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
You don't have to do what you've always done. That's also autonomy.
Right.
I was about to say, but that I think even with that, that's a part that we individually don't give ourselves the right to that kind of autonomy because Ooh. Of tradition or because of how we were raised. Like,
that is true.
We don't even realize that we're taking away our own decision to be autonomous in these ways.
Mm-hmm. And that is actually considered an autonomous behavior when you do research to find other options if something is not working.
Mm-hmm.
Autonomy is actually more than just saying it's going to be this way because I say so.
Right. Oh, that's trying to control. That's
yeah. That's a good point. So that's not the same thing. Autonomy right. is something that is saying I am also like making room for things to be different.
Right.
Absolutely.
And to be able to coexist in this relationship with this person so that we can build this foundation of safety,
mm-hmm.
authenticity.
Mm-hmm.
All of that leads to what amongst two good people? Great sex.
Hello, somebody.
The autonomy has a role
in everything. Literally.
Everything, especially when it comes to relationships. But it sounds so easy, but it's hard work.
Oh, for sure. For sure. T? What was the question? How does it come up in sessions?
Mm-hmm.
And then how do you encourage it?
It absolutely comes up in session. I think it comes up in different ways. I think recently... Well, I do a lot of work around, like, body autonomy.
Mm. Ooh. Talk about it.
I do a lot of work around sexual autonomy.
Uh-huh.
And so in those areas, because they can also kind of cross over, it can look like the guilt and shame we have for wanting to have sex or how you want to have sex.
Mm.
It can look like... feeling like your body has to look a certain way, or somebody is telling you that your body should look a certain way, or that it is there just for the visual pleasure of somebody else.
Yeah.
And I always hit on, because they don't even know it's autonomy.
Mm-hmm.
So a part of the conversation is usually about what's going on with you. What are you feeling that's letting you know that this is not okay?
Right.
I think that's one of the first things that we can kind of look at to start recognizing that there might be a problem in the autonomy area, because they're like, well, somebody said this, or somebody told me this, or this is what's being requested of me and I'm not really comfortable with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of knocking on your door, like,
yeah.
It's knocking on that autonomy piece. Mm-hmm. So first we got to navigate, because I can't assume to know why this ain't sitting right with you. So I need to explore so that I don't just tell you to go be free and do what you want to do. Because that might not be what you want.
You're talking about when you work with your clients.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And so first we usually explore what's not sitting right with you. And then we try to get to a deeper understanding of just knowing that they have a voice and the right to have a preference at all.
At all.
That's usually like a baseline point, because they don't know that they get to have a preference.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It's almost like they never imagined it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's usually where I start with it.
Okay.
That's a good point.
Yeah. For me, because I love helping people build confidence, self-esteem, and a healthy amount of independence, depending on what we're talking about, right? And so it often is, I ask questions that try to help them get to that point, right? Like, okay, if we could go back in time, do you think you would do something a bit different or just anything where, because people do, they want to be compliant to whatever extent that they think that is expected of them, especially in the workplace. That's kind of one of the main, some of the main things that people feel like, well, I don't really want to step on somebody's toes, right? But it's...
Step on them.
Do you advocate... Okay. Advocating for yourself. How do you speak up for yourself? How do you protect yourself? Mm. Finding healthy ways to set boundaries. Giving yourself permission to go outside. Go to a coffee shop. Drink more water. Like, taking care of yourself in a different way that feels true and authentic.
Yes.
To you.
Those are autonomous behaviors.
Yes.
You know, those are the things that, you know, help you stay in line with who you are. You're mm-hmm. honoring yourself. I kind of just, I speak to the honoring myself a lot with my clients because that's what autonomy is. It's honoring yourself. Mm-hmm. The workplace is a place where you will be challenged.
Yes.
You know, with speaking up for yourself. Mm-hmm. So, honestly, with the work I do with Black women, for sure, is like, no matter how you say it to these people, you can whisper it, you can write a note. They still don't have a problem with it, so just say it.
Absolutely. Yeah. That was going to be my question for y'all, because even in the way that you phrased it, it made me think, like, how many clients do you get in that request to work on autonomy, or how much of it is actually geared around, help me be okay with this? Not yes. tapping into my autonomy. Yes.
They're not coming yes. saying, I want to work on my autonomy.
Right.
But they're like, help me be okay with
yeah, because they
the way people are having these expectations of me.
Right.
Yes. Help me be okay with this abuse.
Yeah.
Essentially sometimes. Right. I get that.
Which is, they're not even saying that specifically, but it's like, and I, at this point, I've gotten more confident with being real about you can't out-boundary your way. This is not something I want you to get good at coping with.
Mm-hmm. Right? What like, I tell them is, I can't therapize you out of this situation
no.
mm-hmm. at all.
At all. So, and then it's like the...
Or be okay with these expectations. Right. I'm not going to tell you it's okay that right. they talk to you crazy or have these bizarre expectations of you. I'm right. not going to tell you that because yeah. it's not.
No. Right. And that defeats the purpose of you even coming here in the first place.
And we maybe. Have to speak to how hard it is to have autonomy in those spaces
yes,
because that
absolutely.
Is a matter of your well-being financially.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it is hard.
It is. It definitely is.
How do you, I guess, what is usually your approach whenever you know there's a piece of this that they absolutely have to deal with
mm-hmm.
and also still trying to encourage them to practice that question. Autonomy?
Mm. I think... Then we got to work around it, right? Because, yes, you need your job so you can survive, right? You
right. Pay so your then bills, we get right? into problem solving.
Right. We get into problem solving. But then, okay, then how do we practice autonomy in your other area, in the other areas of your life? That way, mm-hmm. if you get pretty good at it, it might start to reflect in the workplace, right?
Okay.
Because we have to start somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know?
Okay. So for me, I guess when a client comes to me with work-related issues, which is quite a bit,
yeah.
We start with what you can control and what you can't control. Because a lot of times people are taking on more than they can control mm-hmm. or thinking they have more power than they... The actual things that they have power over is not what they're tapping into. Mm-hmm. They're tapping into the things they don't have power or control over. Mm-hmm. So we literally control versus concern. That's my jam in therapy mm-hmm. because that is power in that, knowing what you mm-hmm. can control. So... You know, what they can control is having those boundaries. You get off at what time? You can't do no favors. This no. is it. That's all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those boundaries are important.
Right.
I feel like I find that there's a lot of even shame and guilt around
of
that.
Of course.
Like you said, that's an important point of like, okay, you don't have autonomy over these things you can't control. But how much shit are you taking on because you feel like from mm-hmm. some place in the world, mm-hmm. some societal standard,
mm-hmm.
what somebody taught you, that you should be doing all this extra shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, baby, you ain't got... Put that down.
Mm-hmm.
Put that down. The world gonna be hard enough on its own.
Right.
Your work is asking enough for you on its own.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Home is enough on its own. Like,
mm-hmm.
stop picking up shit
right.
that don't belong to you.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
And I think...
Say it again.
Stop picking up shit that don't belong to you.
Period.
Okay. Y'all got that?
Another thing that I think is extremely important in helping clients work through autonomy is also helping them use the language that's aligned with autonomy, right? Like mm-hmm. how they talk to themselves, right? Like,
yeah.
okay, or how they understand a situation, right? So it's, okay, is that how it translated to you or is that how it actually happened, mm-hmm. right? Like
oh, yes.
also creating mm-hmm. an element of reflection to take trusting yourself
mm-hmm. yep.
to take a step back, reflect mm-hmm. on it, see if this really makes sense to you, right? So mm-hmm. it starts with using language that also reflects choice.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I
agree
with that.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah. So how do we practice autonomy?
I was going to say, so career-wise and culturally, I would say we are privileged that we get to choose that we want to be therapists and go do that. Mm-hmm. You know, there are people who are from a different culture who parents make them choose said career. So I think that that's autonomy as well for me as a Black person. Nobody tried to make me be a doctor or engineer, but, you know, I said I wanted to be a therapist, and that's the route that I took. So that's some privilege in that, I think.
I got a follow-up question to that.
Okay.
We've talked about that before as well, just also even in our lives, because maybe it wasn't super structured around, like, you need to go get an education in this, or you need to go to college for this. Like, some people, parents have, like, really strict, rigid expectations around college and this and that. Me and Mercedes was like, I got to figure out. Some got to give.
Something we got to give.
And so, no, we didn't maybe have that push or didn't have, like, the blueprint of what to do next. Which has a downside.
It does have a downside. I don't know what I'm doing, guys.
And also, I think there's a beautiful upside in...
There is.
There's so many options.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can have the imagination to dream those things, then I can find the path.
Mm-hmm.
And it's open to me.
Right.
I didn't always see it like that. At all.
I'm sure.
I didn't always see it like that. I saw it as, I always got to figure shit out on my own. That's how I saw it. And I'm like, I don't want to figure this out on my own. I kind of want somebody to tell me something. But that never came. So
that goes to how we always kind of unpleased. Because there are many people who are like, damn, I wish I could choose my own career. They making me go to school for this, and this ain't my passion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is true.
So then.
But you had a follow.
Yeah. I'm okay. So with, because that's a cultural aspect, right? There's, mm-hmm. it's. People are expected to fall in line, right? So then how do you help people combat that? Because
it's hard.
We're talking about trying to, because you don't want to be disrespectful, right?
Right.
This is something that a person lives by.
Right.
How do you break that down to, okay, is this something that you, how do you keep the parts of this that is real for you and that you can still live by,
mm-hmm.
while also tapping into you, your independence, who you are as a person?
That's a tough one. And I would say, like all of these things, it's really a case by case basis. I feel like in moments like that, I practice a lot of like full transparency in those moments, and kind of just
in therapy.
Help them. Yes, in therapy, of just kind of putting it all out on the table for them so that they can see all the options and then put the decision in their hands. Because I can say, like, we can empathize, we can understand, we can respect that culturally this is what's expected.
Mm-hmm.
There also seems to be a really, really big part of you that wants to tend to this.
Right.
And also, there's a part of you that it's not sitting well with. We can do the work to try to figure out maybe where more of your intentions lie or what you want your future to look like, but I want you to know I'm going to tune into what you... I can help you work toward either.
Right.
This, I can help you try to be okay with this, and we can try to find a way to make following their path fit better for you in a way that feels good and right.
Okay.
If it boils down to it and that's not what you want, then we'll talk about what it looks like if you want to choose a different path.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I think how I address that with clients is I ask them, what would you want your children to do?
Mm. That begin them right there.
It really does.
But they're like, but it's different for my children. And then we're like, Why don't you deserve the same love and care?
So I say, if it's different for your children, then who's going to teach them that?
Right.
You have to model what you want your children to do. And so in that situation, you really just get people to reflecting over, who do you go to bed with at night? Yourself.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, it's hard to like break away from those cultural norms and traditions. Sure. But you can't be at war with yourself to keep everybody else comfortable. You got to do what's best for you. That is easier said than done.
Because
we talk about it in multiple therapy sessions, and people come with the guilt and they come with the shame. They feel like they're being disrespectful, and I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, you are disrupting your own peace.
Right.
I was going to say, and I think you have to kind of gauge that in how much is disrupting their peace, because I feel like sometimes there is a large part, like maybe it's an 80-20. Maybe I... 80% kind of do want to do this because I see the value in this and I see why it would be important, but 20% of me is not okay with it. So I don't ever want to also just
tell somebody to change completely.
To change completely. Even right. though I'm like, bro, you sound unhappy. Like, go after your drink. Like, yeah. it would be easy to do that. But really, I want you to be okay with knowing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And make a very, very conscious decision.
Absolutely. Like, yeah, because I think, because all of it is a matter of helping them learn that you could still choose a path while also still keeping the foundation that got you there. Right?
Exactly.
So it's breaking it down little by little. Well, also, like, I'm not telling you what to do, right? Like, I'm just here.
That's not what we do.
Right, and that's not what we do at all. But I
don't come to therapy.
Right, exactly. So I do try to ask, like, are there any cultural aspects that you find to be a bit overwhelming for you at this point mm-hmm. in your life? Because the 12-year-old, you wouldn't really know that, right? The 35-year-old, yeah. you might know that at mm-hmm. this point, you know?
I think so. With some of my clients, obviously, like, the first generation, like, immigrant kids that come mm-hmm. here, they struggle a lot with choosing paths for themselves because they, you know, they want to honor their parents because their parents made all these sacrifices to come to America. And I see that a lot in the therapy room.
Oh, yeah.
That's hard for them. Some people Absolutely. Are doing, you know, they're a lawyer, but they want to do art, you yes. know, something like that. Mm-hmm. So we have conversations about, okay, let's have a passion project. Mm-hmm. We can problem solve around that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think that's beautiful.
So just
because it also still tunes into they also still really do want to care for their family in yeah. that way.
It means a lot to
them. Be able to support them. That's not like a light, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But sometimes it hits a point to where they are actively putting themselves all the way yes. last.
Yes. Which is usually a tipping point.
Yes. To uphold this cultural tradition or this yeah. cultural kind of expectation. Mm-hmm. That's hard for people as well. And then I'm like sitting with myself as a just... I don't have that expectation on me. And so I'm like, we got to hold a little bit more space for this. Because for me...
That's where the reflective questions
I'd
come
I'd be like, I'm going to do what I want
exactly.
to do.
Right. It's so yeah. easy to be like, nah.
Right, exactly.
I'm good.
Exactly. And then, you know, even in those moments, you get to learn from the client in that respect. Yes, you know,
absolutely.
It's like you... Because how often do they even get the opportunity to say, I don't like this, right? Like, mm-hmm. they can't say it to the community that they've been a part of, right?
No.
So it becomes, it's almost like a stripping of identity in a way. Mm-hmm. And it can become overwhelming. And so you got to say, all right, slow down a little bit because mm-hmm. we're not trying to take away every single thing.
Absolutely.
It's just taking bits and pieces mm-hmm. and creating your own foundation based off of the teachings prior to mm-hmm. this point in your life.
I think that's an important point because we really kind of frequently get into this all or nothing mindset mm-hmm. Where I have to be completely all of this or I have to be...
That's a good point. I was thinking about that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we don't have to do that.
No.
And that's with the merging of families. That's with moving away from family, even when mm-hmm. you're being independent.
Mm-hmm.
You get to kind of take an inventory of seeing, like, what works for you. Mm-hmm. And you get to keep those things. And you mm-hmm. get to build on it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's
for
not
sure.
all or nothing.
Yeah.
That is true. So we were just talking about basically how we use autonomy in the therapy room. And mm-hmm. we was specifically talking about how it shows up different culturally.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so autonomy definitely looks different for everybody.
It does.
What do you guys, what have you seen in your own, like, mothers or your family in regards to autonomy and how it shows up for them?
Mm.
I feel like there was some forced autonomy on my mom's behalf okay. of if somebody else ain't gonna do it, she gotta do it.
That sounds like forced independence.
Yeah, that is forced independence. But she...
That's where those two intersect.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
For sure.
And so, because I guess you could say there was an ultimatum there. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so independence, autonomy, they kind of all got kind of mashed in together. But she kind of made conscious decisions of, okay, well, this invite, like... Your obligations or your whatever is not going to work for me. I'm going to take my kids. I'm going to raise them this way. I want it to look like this. I want it to look loving. I want it to look whatever, whatever. And so I've kind of always seen her do that just in how she raised us,
mm-hmm.
who she had us around,
mm-hmm.
things like that. So that's kind of how I seen it show up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm trying to think. I think it's become more apparent to me as I witness my mom in my adulthood and seeing her say no.
Okay.
Right? And still choosing her joy after saying no, right? Because,
that's right.
You know, again, as we talked about societal expectations and different generations, right? It's, I'm just going to do it because, mm-hmm. you know, I don't want to let anybody down kind of mm-hmm. thing. And her and I have those conversations. And I'm like, Ma, you don't have to. I know you love everybody and you want to, mm-hmm. you could still occupy those spaces, but when you want to, without feeling like the full responsibility is on you to maintain, whether it be traditions or anything like that. Because mm-hmm. if we keep it a buck, it is women that uphold traditions mm-hmm. when it comes to family structures, mm-hmm. right? So even in the workplace, she works really hard. I'm like, have you taken a break today, girl? Like,
so you kind of teaching her about autonomy.
In a way, yeah. In a way.
That's really cool.
But it shows up in other ways for her too. Like, she loves to bake. She loves to cook, right? So like, that is her outlet. So she'll do that.
That's an autonomous behavior.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That if you are engaging in an activity that brings you joy and mm-hmm. satisfaction, that is an mm-hmm. autonomous behavior for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
My yeah. mom definitely practices that at work too. She's a preschool teacher and nobody tells her what are projects to do or what to do with the kids, but she is constantly always kind of taking the initiative in the daycare center, in her classroom mm-hmm. to just come up with these different projects. Mm. And even just from our conversation, she's like, oh, I had the kids like try to meditate or I had them try to do this. And it cute. Was so cute.
Okay.
But nobody around there is telling her to do that. She
chose it.
Living by her values, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
For sure.
So then that makes me, that brings up the point to me for autonomy and initiative. That's mm-hmm. where that intersects. Mm-hmm. If I think about autonomy in my mom, I would say that it is apparent now for sure because, you know, similar to your situation, this forced autonomy to make these decisions on how to raise these children, but ain't working hard or working doubles, if anybody know what that means. But so she recently was like, I'm done with all of that traditional stuff. I'm going over here to figure out how I can do less for more because I'm tired.
And so
she's kind of removed herself from that traditional healthcare setting to work on her own terms. So that's her kind of having autonomy in that area. And I'm glad to see it because that decision alone decreases stress.
Yes.
Which increases a balanced mental health.
Right.
So it's been really good to see her kind of step into that that role for herself.
Yeah.
That's one of the most beautiful things to see. I'm sorry, like personally and professionally, mm-hmm. seeing people like mm-hmm. walk in their autonomy to live a life in line with their values, those to me are like the glimmer mm-hmm. moments that I have in life of like, oh my gosh, that's so beautiful.
Yes. Because you see it in them, too.
Oh, right? Absolutely. It's so inspiring. It's like, right. Oh, shit.
So that makes me wonder, like, how do you just as... Because, obviously, we are sharing our experiences with what autonomy looks like for us, right? And mm-hmm. so, mm-hmm. honestly, for me, because I'm excited about it and it's one thing that I live by, I want everybody to do it, right? So, for y'all, what is... If you have any experience of it, wanting to encourage it, but there's a pushback...
Autonomy?
Right. Yeah. Like
from clients or just in general?
In general, right? Like even we're talking about our moms, right? So like mm-hmm. trying to encourage them to like, no, you don't have to, like you have choices, you don't. And then there's pushback. Like how do you handle that?
Because sometimes it's not as easy to step into the autonomy because as we already talked about, there are certain spaces where it's not really wanted. Mm-hmm. You know, we live in a world where they really don't want you to make decisions for yourself. You need to go fall in line, kind of like you were saying. And yeah. I think it just
sometimes
comes back.
Don't want the autonomy.
That is true. That is a whole nother topic.
Okay.
That's the element of helplessness and not seeing no way out. Mm-hmm. That is true.
Yeah. And that it takes work. Like you said, that there's an intersection of initiative and autonomy that you have to play an active role in living that life. And sometimes people don't want to do that work.
Because it is work. And also autonomy is also just like going with what you know is right instead of going with mm-hmm. the crowd. That is a part of autonomy too, being comfortable in your authenticity.
That's mm-hmm. kind of also like being brave, which some people aren't in a place.
Because it is not always encouraged.
Right.
Oh, absolutely. And sometimes there are consequences.
For sure. And 100%. I was just about to ask.
There are consequences to you... Yes, what you just said. I'm not going to go there.
So it just came up as we were talking. Like, what do you think are some sacrifices that are attached to autonomy? And mind you, sacrifices look different, right?
So, there's so many, but I definitely want to go back to your other question, though, because I had an answer for that. You asked, what do we do when there's pushback when you try to encourage autonomy? And so what I've learned from Bell Hooks, you know, she's... got some foundational works for me and how I'm now navigating the world. And so based off of some of the things I read from her and this love ethic, and not just her, but also Don Miguel Ruiz, who wrote The Mastery of Love, is that to be loving, there's also this acceptance that we have to have of people and where they are and where they want to be, even if we want more for them, even if this might cause harm for them. Like, we can try to tell them, we mm-hmm. can try to encourage them, but mm-hmm. at some point we have to respect and love them yeah. in a way that says, I still want you to be able to have that control and responsibility over your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I usually just kind of say that, and I'm like, yeah. okay, well, this must be what, if I try mm-hmm. and you don't want nothing to do with it, mm-hmm. I have to say, okay.
Because in a way, wouldn't that still be their autonomy?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's autonomy on their end. And to me, that's practicing love, even though I don't agree with that shit. That shit is wag. You don't need to do that.
Right.
But I'm going to love you in a way that yes. is, you know, this must be right. what you want your life to look like.
So because the intent in black is to people's not language, if you like it, I love it.
Hello. Yeah,
exactly. Hello. Right. Because we're not I don't want to control you. Exactly. I just, you're expressing to me that this part of your life is stressful. Okay, let's talk about it. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is hard to make those changes, but sometimes we got to get tired of it. Mm-hmm. Like,
okay,
we got to be sick and tired of being beat down by the circumstances. Yeah. Okay. Sometime.
I'm going to be here. Let me know when you want to come talk about
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
So, until then, you know.
Right.
All of that makes sense. How can we wrap autonomy up into it being just overall essential to your mental health? What would you leave the people with about autonomy and mental health?
Mm. I will wrap it up by saying, when you don't find a way to practice autonomy, mm-hmm. you essentially abandon yourself. And abandoning yourself and not accounting for yourself in every situation in life is going to lead to a deteriorated mental health. That's not the way we're meant to navigate the world, mm-hmm. by acting as though our mind, bodies, and spirits don't exist. Mm. It's not sustainable.
Yeah.
That's really, you know, that's mic drop.
Yeah.
Because that's exactly, you know, abandoning yourself and honoring yourself is really, I love that language. So mm-hmm. what everything you said is 100% true, because it's not sustainable to do so. No. You start resenting everything and everybody around you when you are not stepping into your autonomy. And I'm not talking about saying like, oh, fuck this job, fuck right. these kids.
We're
not saying any of that. We're saying take inventory of what you need and what you can control mm-hmm. and engage in some autonomous behaviors. And that yeah. looks different for everybody.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So if you find yourself trying to find your way through what autonomy is, then maybe it's time to talk to somebody.
Mm-hmm. I agree. 100%.
Yeah.
Go love yourself.
Go love yourself.
Go love yourself.